I don't know how long I've had it, but I reread it and I thought, wow, that's really meaningful. So I want to share that with you this morning. And it's supposed to be, well, you'll kind of get the rhyme, but it's kind of like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, okay? It's pretty deep, so listen carefully. 'Twas the end of the ages when all through the world, and Satan was busy, his deception he hurled. The people just living and thinking their thoughts, not knowing, this isn't large enough, not knowing their souls, 'twas what Satan sought. I'll convince them, he said, that a lie is the truth. I'll start from the beginning. I'll start with the youth. I'll teach them they came from a primordial, that's not right, primordial, is that right? Primordial stew, and go much further. I'll teach everyone to. Life has no meaning. Oh, thank you. Life has no meaning. Their life doesn't matter. Families, I'll tear them and cause them to scatter. I'll cause them to fight and to hurt one another and turn children away from father and mother. To the pregnant young women, I'll teach them, I'll say, 'tis not a life that you carry. Take it away. No need to marry, I'll tell to the couples, except for the ones whose gender it doubles. I'll make them believe that their life's a big waste. Cocaine and heroin, I'll give them to taste. I'll throw in a bottle and some cigarettes too. I'll make them addicted to add troubles anew. Much gossip and slander, I'll teach them to speak. With the lies they'll believe, I'll make them all weak. There is no creator, I'll proclaim with a shout. And for many who believe, I'll cause a great doubt. For Buddhism or Hindu or even Islam, I'll lead to heaven. 'Tis just the road they are on. They'll believe all these lies and hunger for more, not knowing my plans and the evil in store. I'll cause all my hatred to spread through the lands. I'll give them the weapons to use with their hands. And all of the world will shake and tremble with fear from all the deceived workers whose message is clear. Now ISIS, Al-Qaeda, now Abu Sayyaf, on communists, on guerrillas, on all the rest, to the top of the world, to the top of the power, spread all my evil for my finest hour. I'll cause people to fear and push God from their hearts and make them to worry till anxiety starts. They'll forget all God's ways and all of his laws. Isn't it wonderful the trouble I'll cause? Then in a twinkling, he'll remember the day when the lives of the boys he had taken away. He had them all killed from age 2 years and under, when the birth of a babe caused many to wonder. How could this poor baby at that time, Satan thought, be the one of whom all of the scriptures had taught? Afraid that this man would rule the nations, how Satan was filled with great trepidations. He's not like the others, he said with a frown. He's helping the hurting and those that feel down. Why? He's serving and caring and showing great love, and he's preaching and teaching God's word from above. The man's crazy, he cried. Did you hear what he said? He claimed to give them life when he raised from the dead. He said he'd forgive them of all of their sins. He'd teach them and show them to love just like him. I'll tempt him, he said with a bit of a gloat. I'll get him to sin, and his words I'll misquote. And I'll use all my tricks, and I'll mess with God's plan. And I'll nail to the cross both his feet and his hands. But Satan soon learned that his plan, how it failed, and somehow this Christ was the one that prevailed. Yet he continues to fight a battle he's lost, for our ransom was paid with Christ's blood on the cross. He rose from the grave and is alive yet today. Believe only in him, for there's no other way. So you'll hear me exclaim as I go out of sight, give glory to God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Don came to me, several months ago and said that he'd found this song that Cloverton had rewritten the words to the Hallelujah song. I'm sure you've all heard the Hallelujah version, but I don't know if you've heard the Christmas words that go with it, and it's just really beautiful. So we've been working on this, and we'd love for you to join in on the chorus if you'd like to. No problem. It'll be worth the wait for him. He's awesome.
Sorry.
You ready? I'm ready. I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the major fall and the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hard to follow her. I didn't have a program. I was just sitting there and trying to wipe the tears from my eyes after listening to that. We were asked by Pastor if somebody would spend a few minutes telling why you're here. You know, I thought, well, okay, that'd be a piece of cake. I'll do that. So I sat down and said, well, okay, why am I going to be here? Why am I here? Because I want to be. You know, it's simple as that. Want to be here. But it's like, as I started asking myself that question, it was like, you ever talk to a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, and you say something to them, and they look at you, and they say, why? And so you go into deep detail, and you explain, and they say, why? And on it goes. That kind of happened to me when I was going to do this simple thing. You know, I spent last night hardly getting any sleep because I was thinking about this. We had a busy day yesterday. We had a funeral to go to. And it was hard. So I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I thought back, well, why am I here? I give my parents a little credit. My parents raised me. I was raised a Lutheran, and I had to go to church. I had to go to what's called confirmation. I had to learn the books of the Bible. I had to learn the Apostles' Creed, Ten Commandments, all those basic things. So that was fine. It was good. I really want to do that for my own family. Give them a background, Christian background. And now, grandchildren, isn't that wonderful? So, and then I thought, but there's a little more to it. When I was younger, we had television first new, like in the 50s. Up here, they didn't even have TV stations, you know what I mean? And one day, watching Channel 6, one station, that was it. Snowy. My mother was watching. She said, David, come in here. I sat down with her, and it was a Billy Graham crusade. And I listened to that. And it got to the end, and I said, he's having that altar call, and I look at my mother and said, I want to do that. Can I do that? She said, absolutely, go. And I did. After that, you know, going through the tough grown-up years in this country, high school, college, what that, it was difficult. And I remember after different love relationships, I said, I asked the Lord, geez, I wish you could give me someone that I can love and I can trust. Guess what? I met Jan. And off we went. After we were together, I said, well, wherever we went, whatever we did, we're going to find a Bible preaching church so we can be fed. And that led to coming here. When I gave my heart to the Lord, like Billy Graham who said, I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, well, I started learning from the Bible. So open your heart. Let Jesus live through you. That's what it means. Open your heart. Because I understand the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. You open your heart and Jesus starts living through you. He becomes a part of your life. And I'm here because of that's what happened to me. I've accepted that. I want that. And when it gets right down to it, I guess I can say to you right now, why I'm here is because when I come into this church, I feel the living, breathing body of Christ. Because we're all believers in Him. And that's the church. We're a part of this church. We're a part of the living body of Christ. And so I guess to sum it all up, I got to say this. I'm here to celebrate, listen carefully now, our birthday. He's a part of us and we're celebrating our birthday. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads and praise our Father. Father, we thank you and praise you as a body of believers in you. We lift up your name. We praise you. We thank you for your gift to us of our Savior, Christ the Lord, your word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, and we praise you and trust you, and that you will lead us and guide us, and that you will mold us and make us more like you. May we be bold and share that joy that we have in Christ to others that we know near and far. And we pray that all men will know your peace and joy and comfort that your angel announced to us. But Father, be with us during the rest of our service. Guide our hearts and guide our words. And we pray that we would be open to them and what you would have us to learn. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
A baby in the manger, baby Jesus, there's a danger that we've got to wake him up. Such good news we must shut up. We will sing with the angels, never be sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to sing with the angels, heavenly sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to there's a baby in the manger, baby Jesus, there's a danger that we're going to wake him up. He's such good news we must shout up. We want to sing with the angels, heavenly sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Is born and he's such good news. We want to sing with the angels, heavenly sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. Shout and sing and worship the King. Shout and sing and worship the King. Jesus is born and he's such good news.
Merry Christmas. I was praying I wouldn't be first, but who wants to follow kids? When Pastor Jay said what he wanted, I didn't get it for a couple of weeks. I didn't get it. And then one day the light bulb went on and I thought, oh, well, that's not hard. Till, like Dave, I'm sitting there thinking about it. So, I don't know. I just know that a lot of people that I know are going through some rough times right now. And I believe that we're here because he lives and we can have hope. Webster's Dictionary defines hope as a feeling that what is wanted is about to happen. It's desire accompanied by expectation. The Bible defines hope in this way. Hope in the New Testament sense is the expectation of something good. The original word denotes a joyful and contented expectation of eternal salvation. Based on Scripture, Jesus Christ is our hope in all things. Psalms alone is full of hope-filled words to encourage us. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." I've been a Christian for a long time, and sometimes we learn things that we don't want to know, because with knowledge comes responsibility. And one of the things that I learned early on was that every time God gives a promise, we have a responsibility. And I didn't think about that, and a lot of us don't think about that. So Psalms 33:18 says, the eye of the Lord is upon them that hope in his mercy. If we are his child and we are relying on him through our faith and our trust, and we are following him daily and trying to do what he wants us to do and be obedient, then we have the hope and the promise that he is working all things for our good. Romans 8:28 assures us of that. But we all want answers to our problems right now. Sometimes we're left waiting. God is sovereign and works in his time, not ours. And this is one of the many things that he would have us learn. Jesus was born to die for us. When we accept him and we become saved, we are forever in the palm of his hand. Life is not easy. Living in this world is a challenge every day. But he knows that, and he's there every step. But no matter how bad things get, we have that blessed hope within us that things will get better. God created us to have a relationship with him, to fellowship with him. He is the only one who can turn our test into a testimony or our mess into a message. Jesus came to die for us. He chose to go to the cross for us to reconcile us to God the Father. And then they sent the Holy Spirit to empower us and to encourage us. They have done and are doing their jobs. Our job is to trust and believe. We all have trials that we go through. Some of us bring them on ourselves and want to blame everybody else. But some of them are sent by God for a purpose so that we can grow closer to him and learn to rest and depend on him. Scripture says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a trust and belief in God as the higher power, the only power, the one in control, which causes us to have hope in all good things. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. If we don't come, where are we going to hear it? If we don't come to the Bible-believing churches, where are we going to hear it? Once we become saved, we then have a responsibility to learn and to grow by studying his word and spending time with fellow believers. This helps strengthen our faith that renews the hope that's within us. I've heard it said many times that people cannot live without hope. I believe that hope is a person named Jesus Christ. And if we don't have hope in our lives, then we cannot have hope in the proper biblical sense of the word. So never forget that we have hope because he lives.
This is a song that that I don't know, but it's beautiful. What wondrous love. is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. Turn to 177. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I Am. While millions join the theme, I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. Let's sing four together. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on. Now that has nothing to do with Christmas, but praise God. Father, we thank you so much that you were born to die. And because you died, and because you were raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, our sins were atoned for, and we sing on in Jesus' wonderful name. We bless your name. We give glory to your name. We praise you, Father. Amen. Now, it wouldn't be church unless we passed the plates. So we're going to continue to worship as we join together in giving back a little bit of what God has blessed us with. And I need some volunteers, so Brian, would you help me? Would you be one? And Peter, perhaps? That's not really volunteering, then.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We're certainly thankful for you being with us this morning. We're certainly thankful that we're able to provide a portion back of our earnings to your will, Lord, through this chapel. We are truly blessed, Lord. We're certainly thankful for loving us and your Son.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everybody. So today we're talking about Because He's Alive. At Christmas time, we reflect on what it means in our lives that Jesus was born, lived, died, and on this day, He lives still. This year, it's been 10 years since my father passed away on December 27th. So my heart naturally went to my father and the impact he had on my life. I've been reflecting on it. I tell people that I was raised in a Norman Rockwell painting. I had a mom, dad, older brother, older sister, collie dog, Siamese cat, and a live-in grandfather in the recliner in the corner. My home life, and especially my dad, made it easy for me to picture God as a loving father who loved me unconditionally. My dad was my main cheerleader, advisor, support, and example. He was a man of integrity, honesty, and faith. He told us as kids that the best gift you can give your children is a good name. And that's what he gave all of us, was a good name. We were proud to have him as our father. I remember once their refrigerator had broken down, and the company said that it was a new refrigerator, like 6 months old. Something had gone wrong with the compressor. So the company that they bought it from, the store they bought it from, said that they would replace it, and they would replace everything that was in the refrigerator. So my sister was taking notes as to what was in there and the cost of everything, and she wrote down a gallon of milk. And my dad said, no, it wasn't a whole gallon. There was only a half a gallon there. So she changed the amount that for a gallon of milk that was in the refrigerator and the spoiled food. But that's the kind of example he set for us our whole lives. As a young man, my father made decisions about how he wanted to live his life. He was a man who put a lot of thought into prayer, into how he lived, who he married, and how he raised his children. And I know that not everyone in this room has had a father like that or a mother. But my prayer is that everyone in this room, either in the past or in the future, will have someone that can be such a shining example of God's love that it's easy for them to understand how God loves us. It could be a spouse, a child, a friend, or a pastor who showed you the unconditional love and pointed you to God. My father was born in 1927, the third boy in 2 short years to my grandparents. He was drafted at the age of 18 and went to Germany at the end of World War II. It was sometime in those teen years that my dad made decisions that are impacting lives 70 years later. He had 3 children. He had, 12 grandchildren and 18 great-grandchildren. And they're all feeling some of the great-grandchildren he never met. And they're all impacted by the way that he raised us. He was a servant his whole life. And he did it very quietly. When I was an adult, if there was a need that needed to be met, he just met the need. I remember one time he drove down to Ann Arbor with me when I was taking Michael down to a medical appointment. And he didn't want his daughter to drive all the way down to Ann Arbor by herself with Michael. So he went with me. And, of course, on the long road trip, we got to talking. And I asked him, I said, what's your main thing that drives you to live your life? What do you live for? What's your creed or whatever you want to call it? And he said, he thought about it for a few minutes, and he said, it's so when I get to the pearly gates, the Lord says to me, well done, O good and faithful servant. So that's how he lived his life.
My dad was no saint. He made mistakes and had the same temptations that we do. But he made daily decisions to follow the living Lord. And if the Lord wasn't alive, what help would he have had? He would have been just like anybody else. And he made daily decisions to walk with the Lord and conduct himself accordingly. This would not have been possible without a master who is not still alive today. Jesus is alive this Christmas, and may we show others how alive he is through our lives. I wrote this poem a couple of days after my dad died. He died in our home. We had moved my mom and dad into our home to take care of them. And we knew Dad was going to pass away soon. We knew his heart was failing, but we thought we had several months left, and we didn't. He died 2 days after Christmas. So I wrote this poem a couple of days later after I had a conversation with my sister, who told me about the conversation she had with my dad, and it kind of sums up his life. "Where am I?" my father whispered in the dark of the night. My sister, who was sleeping in a chair beside his bed, replied, "You're at Janie's." "Where's your mother?" the old man asked. "Right over there in the other bed asleep." "Why are we here?" "You're sick and Mom needed help to take care of you." "What's wrong with me?" "Remember, Dad, the doctor told you about your heart?" "Oh, that's right. When am I going to get better?" "You're not," came the soft, sad reply. "Oh, then how long is the good Lord going to let this go on?" "Not long, Daddy. Just long enough for us to watch you eat lutefisk one more time on Christmas Eve and watch the butter drip from your chin. Not long, Daddy, just long enough for your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to deepen the bond you nurtured and your family to ponder what a treasure you are. Not long, Daddy, just long enough for your beautiful bride of over a half a century to say her goodbyes. Not long, Daddy, I promise it won't be long before you see your beloved master and hear those words that have been your creed. Well done, good and faithful servant." And this all happened because Jesus is alive.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Good morning. Because he lives. I was thinking about that, you know, it's not just because he lives, but because he cares. He not only lives, but he cares. And because he cares, everything is different than it would have been. If you hang out with me long enough, you're going to hear me say the phrase, it's a phase. One of my favorite examples of it's a phase is people often tell me how their two-year-old will only eat chicken nuggets, or they'll only eat macaroni and cheese, or whatever. And I always tell them, keep offering the child a plate just like you're eating, and eventually, as they watch mom and dad eat those other foods, they'll try them. And eventually, they'll be eating a normal diet just like you do. I have 8 children. I can testify that this is the truth, that the macaroni and cheese thing is just a phase. I use just a phase with myself at Walmart almost every day because Walmart can make me a little bit crazier. Unlike the deists who believe that some large being somewhere created the universe and just let it go, just let it without being involved, we as theists believe that our God created the universe, created us, created time. There was no time before he created. How does that work? I can't wrap my mind around that. But he not only created it, but he stayed intimately involved with it. He stayed so involved that he took on human flesh. He was born in a barn, laid in a manger as a bed, just so that he could redeem his creation. Because of that, we can know that our whole lives are a phase, just like macaroni and cheese. Every financial crisis, every health crisis that you face, every family crisis you face, it's a phase. Hebrews 11:13 says all these people, the people they talked about in the chapter on the faith chapter, people of great faith, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. That's us too. Because we know that God has an eternal plan for us, we know that our lives and every part of them are just a phase. Because of that, we have such tremendous hope. Just like Mary was saying, and that changes everything. So this Christmas, cling to that hope, because it is the best Christmas gift that you'll ever receive. And Merry Christmas. Take a deep breath.
Here you go again, eh?
I'm ready when you are. Thank you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will speak, the dumb will leap, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Did you know?
We're going to do a little something different here at the end. Sydney and I are going to sing with Janet. We're going to sing Away in the Manger. If you want to go there, we're going to have you join us on the third verse with Ron. So we're going to do the first two verses, then we're going to go sit down, and without much fanfare, Ron's going to come forward, sing the third verse with you, and provide our benediction. You know what? We're going to run over. It's going to be about 12 after 11. I don't know if you can handle it. Hasn't it been wonderful, though? It's been fantastic. It's been fantastic. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. All join us on the second one. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Let's sing the third one again.
Verse 3 again. Let's stand as we sing.
Be with me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fear us for heaven till we're with
them. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son be born in a manger that gives us hope of eternity. And we thank you so much for the blood that was shed on our behalf. And Father, this Christmas season, that it might be very meaningful to each one of us here and to those that don't know the real story of Christmas, Father, that they might hear and accept. And so we just praise you this day and thank you for your son. And be with us as we go from here. We love you. In precious name, amen.
For those of you who can stay, we have fiddles in the back, fellowship, and Easter, Christmas Eve, rather, service on Monday.
Is he what now?